Okay, one second. So we are having our second in our in a three-week mini-series on Passover, and we're talking about selling chametz. So I encourage you to sell the chametz, and that way you can leave it there. You don't have to sell chametz that you don't own. You understand? If like, you don't own it, it's your neighbor's, it's your company's. The only issue is if you own like 51% shares in the company.
I do.
So, and then you might have to you might have to sell. You should write it down in the sale of chametz form, not just your personal chametz, but the chametz that's in. You sell that too.
Okay.
So you don't have any proprietary rights in it, and then it gets bought back. So about wait an hour after the holiday before eating your chametz. The chametz you sell, you need to wait an hour, because for it to come back into your possession, into your ownership rather. We wait an hour. That's basically it. Okay. So what about koshering?
What about profits, though, from selling that chametz during Pesach?
What's that?
Like, whoever owned that company, right, during Pesach made profits from the chametz. Do they get to keep those profits?
No.
Or, like, can you keep those profits even though it was sold during Pesach?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure. I don't think you'll have any lawsuits on your hand. Don't worry. I'm going to come after you for unpaid... rewards.
Chametz bills.
Yeah, chametz bills. All right, so how many guys have self-cleaning ovens? You don't have a self-cleaning oven?
My apartment doesn't have an oven.
Barely functioning oven.
Okay, so very simple. To kosher an oven is very simple. If it's self-cleaning, turn that sucker on, let it go, let it rip, and it gets up to like 800 degrees. It's like, it's a very high level of koshering. It's like blowtorching it, and you don't even have to do that. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, then what you need to do, and it's not so crazy, you just clean it. Use some sort of caustic cleaning agent like Easy Off. Leave it for 24 hours, and then turn it on to its highest setting for an hour, and you're good.
That's it? 1 hour?
That's it, 1 hour. Because basically what you're doing, let me explain the principle. It's not voodoo, it's not like mystical stuff. The Talmud says, Kabolo, kach polto. The way something gets absorbed is the way it's expunged. So if some... chametz somehow got absorbed into this tin can, then the way that I can, you know, drink from the can, because we believe that food is not only something you can see, we also believe in what's called ta'am, it's called taste. And it's not a mystical idea, it's a chemical reality that not only, like, if I cook in a pot, and I cook non-kosher food in a pot, and I clean the pot really, really well, why can't I use that pot again on an open flame and put some food in there? It's completely cleaned out of the non-kosher food. You can't see anything non-kosher. Why can't? What's the idea behind it?
Well, there's a biblical and then there's a rabbinic.
This is all biblical.
Because the biblical is just after 24 hours, the time is no longer.
Okay, there. Okay, but before you get to 24 hours, you're a step ahead of everybody. Right. What is the reason that I can't cook in that pot within 24 hours?
I'm guessing it's
the
Tom.
Because what does that mean? The taste is in there.
Well,
the residue is where though. I can't see it. There's no grease. You cleaned it really well.
It's in the metal.
It's actually in the metal. It's in the walls of the oven. It's in the metal, and I can prove it to you because when I used to be into really koshering kitchens, I had a very funny pot that I used to use because I looked for the biggest pot, and it happened to be a lobster pot that I bought at a store, and I couldn't get the sticker of the big lobster off the pot. So every time I went into people's homes to kosher their kitchens, they were like, it's a little ironic using a lobster pot, you know, big picture. So at the end of the, not even the end of the day, within like 2 hours of koshering people's pots and pans and forks and knives and cutlery and a film of residue, of fatty residue, white, yucky looking stuff would start developing on the top of the water. And what was that? And it was hot boiling water. So everything, and by the way, no, it's not. And it's not. It's actually the ta'am coming out, okay, because in order to kosher something, you have to clean it really well and leave it for 24 hours. So not, I immersed nothing in there that was dirty. Right? And that's why this has nothing to do with cleanliness. It's the same idea with the mikvah also. It's nothing to do with cleanliness. It's a spiritual thing. And this, by the way, is we'll talk about that in a second. So when you're koshering something, and all the same principles, when we kosher from non-kosher to kosher for Passover, or let's say non-kosher to regular kosher, I mean to regular non, it's all the same procedure. Whatever you did to absorb the taste into the walls of your oven or the pot, is the same thing you apply to pull it out. So let me ask you a question. How should you kosher an oven? You ask yourself a second question. How did things get? How did my oven become not kosher? Oh, because I cooked non-kosher food, but there's no way not kosher if I cleaned it. It's in. But how? Through heat. What kind of heat? Well, if I didn't put the food directly on the wall of the oven or directly on the grates, then I don't need to apply direct heat. Okay, I can do what's called libun kal, which is like a light koshering. But like a barbecue where there was an open flame, I would then need to blowtorch the grill or just turn on, you know, the barbecue and so it all depends. You always ask yourself, that's what a rabbi is always doing when they're koshering. They're always saying, how did this thing get not kosher, become unkosher? And I'm going to apply the same methodology that absorbed the non-kosher item into the vessel in order to expunge it. Except, one exception, some materials are so absorbent that no matter how much heat you apply, they cannot. Can anyone think of an example of some material that no matter how much
porcelain.
Heat... Porcelain.
Wood.
Because porcelain is from the ground. It's basically wood. Basically those two items, porcelain and wood.
But then there's the issue of glass between Sephardim and Ashkenaz.
Yeah, so there's a whole question about glass. So the way we rule, I don't want to get bogged down because we don't have a lot of time, but we don't kosher glass. Now, the only thing stuff you have to kosher, though, guys, is stuff that you use with heat. Because if something was never used with heat, then it never gets absorbed into the item. Because the only thing that absorbs something, only thing that absorbs taste is heat. So let's say you have glasses at home, regular glass, but you never put anything hot in them.
That's the food.
Okay?
Hot
water is fine. Just water. It's not. There's nothing non-kosher.
But like coffee, like mugs.
So mugs is okay, I'll tell you why. Because most coffees are kosher. And even if you have a little flavoring, it's batil. It's obliterated in there. And teas and coffee, so your mugs you can probably still use.
Even with creamer?
Even with creamer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you have a big...
I'm giving you guys some leniencies because most of the like Orthodox world will just like put all of their dishes away and then just take out the new Passover, keep it simple. And I recommend people doing that, but I'm giving you the letter of the law. The letter of the law is if you never used your glasses for anything other than cold, you don't have to kosher them. Just clean them out.
Even if they were... What if they were in a dishwasher with other stuff?
There's a leniency.
There's a leniency because?
Well, because the water didn't directly touch the glasses, right? It's not like the towel.
Yeah, but the other leniency is that the soap...
Makes it not food.
It's called noten tam lefgam. In order for something to be transmitted, it has to be real taste. If the taste gets schmuggied up...
By soap.
Is that such a word?
Soaped up.
Yuckied up. Not soaped up.
No?
Well, if it gets... yuckied up because soap is yucky, it's not food, then it changes it from the status of tom. It's no longer tom.
So if you have a glass bowl that for every day for a year it's just had cold lobster in it.
You could just clean it and use it.
Yeah. Is this
now most people wouldn't because they don't want to take the chance, but technically you could if you inspect it and it's clean, then and it was never used for anything hot. Then it's perfectly fine to use. Listen, if I go to a hotel, I'll order, I'll use a bowl or something like that if I know it was only used for cold.
Cereal.
Like cereal. If they have a cereal bowl in a hotel, and I can't, you could technically even use it even if they use it for heat if what you're putting in there is cold. So if they have kosher cereal, Joel and I have been doing this for years. We like to travel as much as before COVID we did. So I would go to a hotel and we would have breakfast. They have fruit there, they have kosher cereals, but the cutlery and the bowls are not kosher. But we're using everything with cold. We're having cold cereal with milk and cereal. It's perfectly fine to use that stuff because...
Let's say they put let's say cold bacon as an option in the past with those bowls.
It's fine. You have to make sure when it comes to things like ham and bacon that there's no grease. Yeah, you have to make sure it's cleaned really, really well.
And if that was cleaned and then sort of used in the past, then you could still use it.
Yeah,
hold on.
Yeah.
Could you put hot things on a plate and then let them cool down and then move them to another plate?
Because once you put something hot on a plate,
it's taking the time.
It takes a split second. And by the way, when you kosher, how long do you have to stick the thing in when you kosher something? Take a hot boiling vat of water and you kosher things. Literally a second. It's 2 seconds. Yeah. You're putting it in because... And that's why the only reason we do it for an hour, you made like a remark when we put the stove on for an hour, the inside of the stove, is because how long do you cook anything? Do you cook anything more than an hour?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Slow cooker.
Slow cooker.
Yeah, low temp, long time.
In your oven?
Yeah.
Okay, so then to keep it on, however long you cook something,
a lot of
chicken
at once.
We average an hour.
But it's a low heat for a long time.
That's also true. You're putting it on to 550 for an hour. Are you putting it on for... You have to put it onto the highest thing. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Rav Shechter, one of the great rabbis at Yeshiva University, said Manhattanites should try to kosher their kitchens as late at, should kosher their dishwashers as late at night as possible because less people are using it and the water gets hotter. You want to get it as hot as possible. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, that's the inside of your stove. Let's say you want
to... Does the whole thing apply to the kosher for Passover versus chametz, or just like kosher in general?
What do you mean?
Like, let's say you had like a cold thing with chametz, then you can just... If it was only cold, then you can...
Use same
it.
Thing.
Yeah, you just have to clean it up?
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah, same thing. Question, guys. So everyone's good on the inside of your oven?
Yes.
Okay, what about top? You familiar? How do you kosher the top of your oven? Well, what about the grates? Let's start with the grates. Think about it.
One, you'd only turn the burners on to the high heat
setting. Blowtorch.
Okay, does anyone else here besides Skylar own a blowtorch?
I use it.
Okay, can we just get the...
You could put...
They're like 20 bucks.
I just did this.
Yeah, oh, let me hear.
You put a pan on...
Okay, listen. Guys, Justin just did this, actually, with Moshe.
So to kosher, like, the grates, you put, a sheet pan on... Which puts the heat back.
It spreads the heat.
So the heat gets
to as much parts of the grate as possible.
So
or you want to know a cheaper, quicker way of doing it? Do you have self-cleaning?
Yeah.
What you could do is you could take the grates off, throw them in the self-cleaning, and put them in the jacket. Now, it might discolor them a little, if that bothers you. Some people don't care. It might, because they're in there for 3 hours and it gets really hot. But if you don't want that, do what you just did. It was a great idea. You take a piece of heavy-duty tinfoil or a kettle, and then when you're putting on the flame, it spreads it. What do you do for the part in between? Simple, I would just clean it and cover it with something. If you don't want to cover it, then you have to clean it, leave it for 24 hours, and then take hot boiling water and pour hot boiling water over that part. It's a little of a pain and a little messy. Sometimes turns out your pilot light. So... That's why I just tell people clean, and your kitchen will look like a spaceship for a couple of days, you know.
Can you use a lighter, like if you just buy a cheap lighter or something to use it? Like,
a lighter for what?
Like, I don't know, something you'd usually use for something else, like just like the things people buy for cigarettes. What do you buy that to, like, use for this?
Why do you need a light for what? A lighter
instead
for
of a blowtorch?
It's not going to work, man. It's not going to work.
I don't have one myself.
It's not going to do anything.
Okay. I don't have a lighter, but I'm just wondering.
You can kosher granite countertops. Either.
Okay,
let me go through this.
Yeah, so if you go to Harvester, there's a plumbing section.
Yeah, but I tried it. I bought a blowtorch, and I didn't have so much fun. I did.
Does it cost
less? Scary.
It's easier to do it the other way.
It's easier.
Okay, 1 second. Let me just go through this.
Yeah, don't blowtorch the wood.
Order in the car. Oh, my God. All right.
Don't blowtorch the wood.
Joe, are you with us here? You enjoying this?
I just color it a little.
Okay. The broiler pan and grill underneath, stay away from it for the Passover. Unless you have a blowtorch, and you can do whatever you want. Okay, because the only way, the broiler pan, what's the difference in the broiler pan and inside of the oven? You put the food directly on it. You put the food directly on it, you need direct red hot heat on it. And that's a pain unless you have a blowtorch. So I just tell people to leave it. Microwaves are very interesting. You're going to love this, and you're going to all start laughing. Just follow with me. You with me? Where it says microwave ovens. Microwaves in which the inside is made of metal may be koshered. How many of you guys have microwaves with metal inside?
What?
Microwave.
What are the
don't
other?
You know your appliances? Guys, you got to get to know your appliances.
Wait, isn't there glass in the very middle?
No.
Like, is there glass in the middle?
There's glass there. Just listen. Microwaves in which the inside is made of metal may be koshered by first cleaning them out thoroughly. First, don't use them for 24 hours. Then, by the way, what's this 24-hour rule we keep saying? Because whenever you wait 24 hours, it takes 24 hours. it takes something, it takes the taste and it reduces it down a notch. Okay? So it's not considered real taste. So it knocks it down a little. So microwaves in which the inside is made of metal may be kosher by first cleaning them out thoroughly, then placing a microwave safe container filled with water in the oven and boiling it until the oven fills with steam. You want to create like a little schwitz in there. Okay, so you take like a cup, like a microwave cup kind of thing, and just fill it up with water and let it go for 10 minutes. This is when, first you clean it. First you leave it for 24 hours, then you clean it, and then you do that. Microwave ovens whose inside is made of plastic presents a koshering problem. Fortunately, many do not heat up the oven walls enough to cause a kosher concern in the first place. So you just boil a cup of water in the microwave after you've cleaned it, then quickly insert your hand and touch the oven ceiling. If it's too hot to touch, the microwave should not be used for Passover. If it's relatively cool or even warm, then the oven can be used and you've just koshered it. What about the little glass plate? If you have one moving around in there, that should just cover it. If it's absolutely necessary to use a non-kosherable microwave during Passover, you can line the inner walls with cardboard and then use it. Not fun.
Why do you cover the glass
plate?
Cardboard?
Saran wrap. No, you can't use foil. Saran wrap.
But didn't Saran wrap melt?
No. No.
What about paper towel?
You can use paper towel. Or just get rid of the... Just get rid of it. Don't use it.
Or take it out, yeah.
Okay. Take it out.
I have a microwave anyway. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
What about the air fryer?
That's what people do.
Don't use the air fryer.
Can you use
Veranda.
Can you explain the...
I have an air fryer oven.
It's too hot to touch.
Right. So if it's too hot to touch, here's the problem. There's a debate about plastic. Is plastic kosherable or not? So there's a debate. We go leniently during the year. We go leniently during the year, which means when I go to people's homes and kosher their kitchens, in general, I kosher hard plastic. We immerse it in something hot, whatever, clean it out. But for Passover, we're a little stricter. So we go according to the stricter ruling that we're not koshering plastic for Passover. So if your inside of your microwave is made out of plastic, it's not really kosherable. But it's not a problem if it doesn't ever get that hot anyway. So nothing got really absorbed in there anyway. And if it did, and if it's so that's why there's that whole little thing.
What's not kosherable about plastic?
It's just a question of the item itself, whether or not it is, whether it absorbs too much, like a piece of wood or ceramic.
So plastic actually absorbs. That's the problem.
Yeah. Now, we're lenient. We kosher plastic, which applies, by the way, if you want to kosher a dishwasher. Because some people will say you can kosher a dishwasher, but you have to get rid of the racks. You got to get new racks because it's plastic.
The whole thing is plastic these days.
The whole thing is. But you can kosher plastic. We just don't do it for Passover. There probably are opinions that you can do it for Passover also if you want to be super lenient.
So if we kosher our kitchen for Passover, we have a kosher kitchen.
That's my point. Thank you, Allie.
So then we just... Wow. Like for me,
do you realize everyone sitting around this table, all of you now, if you don't currently have a kosher kitchen, you do this. You're not just koshering your kitchen for Passover, my friends. You've koshered your kitchen. This is a good thing to do. Think about it.
But if you take something non-kosher in, is it all ruined or what happens?
No. Here's the thing. We all make mistakes, okay? And that's why I get questions all the time. Rabbi, the little milk got into this, or I used the meat dairy and the meat. Everyone's doing that stuff. There are ways to deal with it. You know, nobody messes up so badly they have to start all over again. The worst comes to happen is you have to kosher a fork or a knife. I've done this before in my own home where I took something out. I put the dairy thing in the meat, and then I used it within 24 hours, and then I used it with heat, and it was used heat before. You have to have like the stars and the moons aligned for problems really to occur. But problems do occur. You call and you ask a question, and the rabbi tells you it's usually okay, but often, sometimes it's not, and then you just have to kosher that item. It's not like your whole kitchen has to be redone now.
Except with glass.
What do you mean?
They don't accept glass plates if they've been if you made them unkosher. You can't kosher them.
You might not be able to kosher them. All right, but listen, you could also, let's say you have a wood spoon. You guys have any wood spoons? You have a wood spoon. If you make your wood spoon not kosher, you're going to have to give it away to your non-Jewish friend.
But butcher block.
Because you're... Right.
So
it's not kosherable. You have to just cover it.
This is like my...
If you want to... What do you do with your countertops? Just cover them. Cover your countertops. Yeah. It's easy. If you don't want to cover them, as long as they're not made out of wood, you just take hot boiling water after you've cleaned them, left them for 24 hours. It's always a requirement. Take hot boiling water. It's called Irui Mikli Rishon. You pour it from a first vessel, and then whatever parts gets hit by the hot water is kosher.
Can't do that to wood?
You can do it to wood. It just won't do anything. You'll just make the wood nice and wet. Yeah.
So in theory, you're limited in the amount of stuff that you can kosher by the size of your largest kosher pot.
Now, when I explain this to you, you can double dip. Let me explain. Let's say this is my biggest pot that I own in my home.
No. I mean, if you don't have you can't kosher something in a non-kosher pot, correct?
Yeah, but you make the pot kosher in very easily. You know how you make a pot kosher?
Boil it over.
Good. You take any pot in your home, fill it to the top with water. Well, first clean it, leave it for 24 hours. Fill it with water, boil it.
Oh.
Now, the only part you have to do something else is once you see a boil, it's kashered, you want to get some of that boiling water to pour over the lip. Yeah. The way you do that is you can just take a rock from outside with some tongs, put it on the oven, get it nice and hot, and stick it in there, and it comes over. Okay. Now you have a kasher. Now you have a pot with which to kasher.
Now, so you do that with your largest pot.
Everything else could be kashered in there, because even if I can't fit this item in my largest pot, I can do it half and half. I can do it half. It's full, so I'm not going to do it. Turn it upside down. I know that was a trick. I could do it like half, and then I can, on the next time, turn it around and do the other half in there. That's okay. You can split it up. I did this for years. Koshering is so much fun. Mm-hmm. And you get everything super clean.
This is like a huge next level for us.
It is a next level, and that's why...
Wow,
let's have a koshering party, man.
For the large things?
Yeah.
This is a lot of
We just put it in the kettle and then did it in the bathtub.
Well, what's that? Wait, say that again. For the what?
There's certain things that just would never fit in a pot.
Like what? Give me an example. So certain things that you can't fit in a pot, you have to kosher within themselves. You have to fill them up with water and let them boil over.
Forget exactly, but I have a lot of like large kosher stuff that would never fit in a pot.
Right, so then what you do is you kosher that. Is it a pot itself? If it's a pot itself, then you fill it up. Or if it's a pan, fill it up with hot boiling water and let it boil over. That's it.
Okay.
The only thing that is an issue, guys, the only issue is Teflon has created lots of problems for the Jewish people.
Yeah,
Teflon prevents a lot of... Huh?
Don't put it in your oven.
Or what happens?
Like on a self-cleaning cycle, it'll all flake off and be like...
Oh, bad.
Cancer test.
Yeah, okay, thank you. A word from our sponsor. All right, number one. Number two, why does Teflon pose problems? Theological, philosophical problems for you, Miranda.
I don't even know what Teflon is.
Yeah, but if nothing sticks to it, then how does the Tom stick to it?
Right, so there's a debate. Some say it's okay. But there's something there. There's something there that's blocking you from koshering the actual pot. Because that's not the pot. That's some sort of chemical. It's like a chemical...
But wouldn't it keep the Tom out, too?
I don't know.
The whole point is that it's a non-stick thing.
I don't think so.
Tom is spiritual, though.
It's not spiritual. I don't want you to think it is. Now, what is spiritual? Now, hold on. I'm glad you said that. I love to attack the one spiritual person sitting at the table. What is spiritual that I haven't discussed at all when koshering your kitchen? You don't make a bracha on it.
Yeah.
There is one thing, going to the mikvah. You're taking your... Going to the mikvah is a purely spiritual thing because you're not cleaning it. You ever see the water in that mikvah? You're doing everything but cleaning this thing. Okay, so... There's a vessel. I told there was a woman who used to... lived around the corner from my home, and we were very, very close with them. She was actually... Her husband was a conservative rabbi, and our families were very, very tight, and she bought me a cup right before I got married, and she came over the day before I got married to deliver this beautiful silver cup, and she said, "And Mark, I even took it to the mikvah." You know, like crazy religious Jew with the mikvah stuff. So I said, "Oh, great, that's so nice. When you put it in the mikvah, did you get into the mikvah with the cup? Like, did you completely disrobe and immerse yourself in the mikvah?" And I had her going for like a while. She was like, "Oh no, I have to. That's disgusting. You have to go into the." I was like, "I'm just kidding. I'm playing with you here." So there's a people mikvah and there's a vessel mikvah. People mikvah is for people, and they're much cleaner. Okay, and don't go into a not clean mikvah. There's no reason for that. And then there's a vessel mikvah, There's one on 74th. There's both. And you just, there's a bracha that you make, and you're putting in it. Now that's spiritual. Because the waters of the mikvah are the natural rain waters. And somehow, and I can't explain this rationally, immersing yourself or your vessels in a mikvah has the power to spiritually elevate the item and bring it closer to its original spiritual source. And that's why people go to the mikvah. It's not like when a woman menstruates, she's dirty and has to go clean it off by going to the mikvah. That's not what's happening. She's had a brush with death. There's a spiritual impurity associated with death, and that's why she goes to the mikvah. Same reason a Kohen went to the mikvah when he came into the before he could enter the temple precincts if he had come into contact with a corpse. And the same thing when and believe it or not, our pots and pans and the way we eat, all of this is being spiritually elevated. So that's separate. If you've never taken your pots, anything metal and glass is supposed to go to the mikvah. So if you're koshering stuff and you've never taken your stuff to the mikvah, that's a really important thing to do also.
Is it necessary?
I mean, it's a mitzvah from the Torah. It's a biblical command.
Technically, I think it's still kosher if you didn't.
Well, the food doesn't, it doesn't affect the kashrut of the food. Yeah. You could still say the food is kosher.
But you can't say
but you're not really supposed to be eating on something that hasn't been immersed. Right.
You have to tovel before Pesach, but very tovled otherwise.
No, if it's tovled already, if it's already immersed in a mikvah, you don't have to do it just because you're koshering your pots.
And if you haven't tovled, that's a good time though.
If you haven't done it, this is a good time.
So for a new pot, you have to tovel it.
A new pot, unless it was manufactured by a fellow Jew. And you don't really know that.
In Israel.
But, so in Israel, if you know it was manufactured by a Jew, then it doesn't have to be. It's sort of elevating it to some other realm, spiritual realm. Now, we're super late. Cleaning for Passover, don't go crazy cleaning. Even though I just gave you this whole thing. Where are you supposed to clean to make sure you don't have chametz? Where?
Floor.
Wherever you bring chametz. If you normally don't bring chametz into the bathroom, how many guys like to jump down?
And
I'm saying I've seen people scrubbing their toilets and go, I'm getting ready for Pesach. And I'm like, okay, that's called spring cleaning. That's not called getting ready for Pesach, unless you like to eat. You know, lunch sitting on the toilet, and that's really gross. You're actually not supposed to bring food into a bathroom for some spiritual reason.
Okay,
but, so you just want to, where to clean. Cleaning should extend to every place in which chametz is brought, including all rooms into which chametz is brought, even periodically. Pockets in your clothing. I know what you guys got going on in your clothing. Briefcases, pocketbooks, talis bags, heavy appliances which are not moved during the year, like stoves and refrigerators. You don't have to move them in order to clean. If your stove is like so big and heavy, you don't have to like move the stove to get. Now, you might want to do it anyway just to clean under there, but anything that's left under that stove, like we just don't assume it has the status of food anymore. That's why we see all those books there. We're not checking those books for chametz. You don't have to open, even though, oh, Rabbi, sometimes I like to learn Torah when I'm eating lunch, so maybe I got some food in there. Maybe, but it's like a little crumb. It's not considered food anymore. You're looking for food. Okay? You're not looking for some little crumb that's 6 months old. Okay, so you don't have to go crazy.
If it's under the size of the mahalo, then it doesn't count.
Technically, also, yeah.
Chametz means crumb?
No, chametz means any one of the five types of grains, wheat, spelt, oat, barley, or rye, that comes in contact with water for 18 minutes or longer. It ferments. That's
so
why it's flat.
Okay.
No, every you can assume almost everything is chametz.
But if it's the raw grain,
almost everything is chametz.
Okay.
Anything that's wheat, any cookie, yeah, it's just like you know.
So you just have raw grain that's not come in contact,
like flour,
so it's fine.
Technically, it's not
chametz. You see a crumb, you don't know what it is. It's a crumb.
What about oatmeal?
Rolled oats.
Wait, hold on. That might oatmeal is chametz.
But it hasn't been contactly seen.
Oat is chametz.
It has been because I probably cooked it before.
But you don't cook oatmeal for 18 minutes.
Right. So it could be chametz. No, that could be chametz. The raw wheat is chametz.
Irish oats.
Yeah. Whiskey is also chametz, believe it or not.
Wait, why is it chametz if it hasn't been cooked? Because matzah was made of chametz originally also.
In order for something to be chametz, it has to be potentially... in order for something to be matzah, it has to be potentially chametz.
Yeah. So why is something that's not even matzah considered chametz then?
What do you mean something that isn't matzah?
You're saying just raw. Oh,
they cook it in under 18 minutes. Like there are these videos of them like speeding.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
What about like raw Oda grain?
I don't know. Who's eating raw oats? Just stay away from it. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Now, what about what foods are not subject to this? Fruits.
I took your idea.
Fruits, vegetables. What else? Guys, this is very important. Fruits, vegetables. What's that? Meat, eggs. Fish, right? Dairy, good.
Rabbi, you don't have to sell
yours. Yeah, please.
Rice for Ashkenazi.
So this,
like, if you don't eat it, it's not there.
It's fine. You don't have to sell it. You don't have to get rid of it. You just can't eat it if you're Ashkenazi.
What about quinoa?
Quinoa, there is kosher for Passover quinoa. Here's what you want to do. You want to look for kosher for Passover labels. It's not hard in New York City. You just look for kosher for Passover. Take a look. Pesach labels. Look at page 7 on the bottom, guys. Page 7 on the bottom. No product can be used on Pesach unless it's accompanied by a reliable kosher Pesach label and endorsement by a rabbi whose name and location is clearly stated. A label reading simply for Passover and adorned with Jewish symbols is not reliable, especially if not integral to the package. These guidelines do not cover every situation. Consult a rabbi. Basically, you just want to look for a kosher for Passover. And then it's got some good label next to it. The OU, the OK, the Chaf K. I know we haven't had a class on Kashrut, or I was going to talk about this stuff with you. So, but like, you know, a big C and it's got a K in the middle, or a big O and it's got a K in the middle, or it's got a big O and it's got a U in the middle. Those are good Kashrut national certifications, as long as it's got that plus the kosher for Passover. Good. New York is very, I'm just telling you, New York is not so hard. There's so much which is kosher.
Trader Joe's
Passover.
Has as many hectares as you can imagine.
Yeah, Trader Joe's is amazing. Okay. Let's talk about Thursday night. Any other questions about in your home, pots, pans, what to buy? What to buy? Where do you,
So what if you forgot you had like some hummus somewhere and you didn't sell it?
We're going to get to that
you
in a minute.
You just find it. You're just like, oh.
You're going to do what's called a bittul, yeah. Where you're going to verbally nullify, and that takes care of any hummus that you overlooked.
Okay.
We'll get to it in a minute.
I have a question. Yeah. It's in the sale of hummus part.
Yeah, we're going to get to it in a sec. Yeah. Any questions about what to buy and how to cook?
What's the? I know some people have something with non-good brox.
I don't want to deal with it.
Okay,
it's astringency. No one's following it here, let's leave it out.
Just making sure.
That's a good question. I love it, Barry.
You could just cook regularly, right?
What's that?
You could just cook regularly, right?
When?
For Passover, when you koshered your kitchen.
Once you've koshered your kitchen and you buy kosher Passover, you cook regularly.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever you like, exactly. Right. Yaron, you're okay with this?
So far, so good.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about the search for chametz. When do we do the search for chametz? When's Passover? It's Friday night. So what do you do Thursday night?
Search
and destroy. Now, the destroying part doesn't happen until Friday, but the search begins Thursday night. When? Nightfall. Take a look. When the time for the bedika means to search, one should begin immediately, deferring eating and other activities until after the search. Now, the search itself is begun by the blessing. Where's the bracha? Right there on the box. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam, asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al bi'or chametz. Blessed are you, God, King of the Universe, who has sanctified and commanded us on the burning of chametz. What do you then do? Walk around your home and...
burn everything.
No, don't not burn anything. just throw a grenade.
What's that?
Just go
around
with a flashlight.
You go around either with a candle or a flashlight.
And a feather.
The reason the Talmud says you should do this at night is so that it's easier to see in the nooks and crannies in the evening when it's dark and you can shine a light. So you look around. Where don't you have to... Now, hopefully by next Thursday night, you'll have done a little cleaning in your home. And it'll be... you don't have to spend a lot of time. But what should you put around before you start? I forgot to mention this, I'm sorry. Before you start your search for chametz, this is just to make sure you didn't overlook anything. What should you put around?
Chametz.
A couple of pieces of chametz. Why?
Because you have to find something.
Right, because if you did a good job cleaning, so what's the problem? So fine, I didn't find anything. What's the problem?
So are you allowed to eat the chametz as you're going?
No, because what you're going to do with that chametz, whatever you find, whatever you put out, you're going to burn the next day. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But why is it a problem? Because you just made a blessing, and when you make a blessing, you're taking whose name?
God.
God's name. And what's the problem with taking Hashem's name if you didn't actually find any food?
It's in vain, then?
You just, it might be a bracha levatol. It might be taking God's name in vain. So what, therefore, you want to make sure you find something. So how do you make sure? Take 10 little pieces of bread, spread them around your home. Now, please remember where you put these 10 pieces of bread. I've gotten calls the night before. Rabbi, I found 9, can't find the 10th. Person's pulling their hair out of their head. I don't know. I mean, there is ideas. It's brought down in about 10, a minion maybe. It doesn't have to be. These are just minhagim. Even if you take one little piece of bread and put it somewhere, it's fine. You don't have to do 10.
Should you
just remember where you put it?
Do you have to do the cleaning before this? Or?
The cleaning all should be done by Thursday night. And this is just a check to make sure you didn't overlook anything.
Oh. When should you hide the bread? Like right before you find it? Or?
Yeah, it's not like a game. It's not like the Afikoman. It's not like the Afikoman at the Seder.
There's no music along with this?
You could put some music on, actually. Just don't interrupt between your bracha and your search. But yeah, let's do music.
Yeah.
Pick some nice Jewish songs to search to. Now, what happens when...
Is this specific mitzvah, the searching for chametz?
Yeah, like, it's a rabbinic law.
Yeah,
it's mentioned in the Talmud. There's a whole chapter on, I studied it. It's called Orla Abasa, or the night of the 14th, because Passover starts the 15th of Nisan. It's now like the 3rd or 4th day of Nisan now. It's not a Japanese car. Nisan is the Hebrew month of redemption that we're in. So you go around and you look. What do you then do with what you found? Put it in a little pekula.
Liturge?
No, stop.
This guy's really excited.
Like, can I burn it? I went through that phase in high school, by the way. I just wanted to burn stuff.
Like a Ziploc bag?
Like a little bag. A little pekula. It's like a Yiddish for like a little bag. Put it in a bag.
Is that like a
shisala? It could be a shisala too, yeah.
Okay.
What's that?
Everyone's got their pekula. I mean, like everyone's got like their little bag that they're schlepping around, their baggage, you know. I've heard that. So put it in a bag, and then, now... Then you do what's called the verbal declaration. See, it says 10 pieces of chametz, and then you're going to, at the conclusion of the search, you see where it says bittul, guys, we're on page 8. See, page 8, it says where it says bittul, B-I-T-T-U-L. At the conclusion of the search, all chametz is placed in a known location, and a declaration, bittul, see below, is made annulling all chametz, which remains hidden. Because this declaration is legal, it is valid only if you understand what you're saying. If one does not understand the Aramaic version, I know that was a fellowship requirement, one should certainly recite the English version below. Follow with me. Any chametz, do it with me. Or leaven that's in my possession, which I've not seen, have not removed, shall be annulled and ownerless, like the dust of the earth. By the way, this is not a joke. Like, this tape recorder is mine. Well, it's not mine, it's MG's. Fine. Let's say it belonged to me, technically. And I put it down and I say, this is ownerless, like the dust of the earth. And Ali comes along and takes this. Have you stolen?
No.
You have not, because it's not mine anymore. You can verbally relinquish ownership in Jewish law, and that's what you're doing. So you're taking a three-pronged approach to your chametz. Number one, you're koshering your place. Number two, you are searching out and making sure there's no chametz that you can see. Number three, just in case you overlook something, you have what's called a bittul. A bittul means that if I overlook something, it's not mine. Whose is it? I don't know. It's ownerless. It's really up for grabs. Whoever grabs it can have it. And if it's not yours, then if you overlook something and you're a wealthy dude and you have three homes, and in your third home you forgot to like search this one room where you kept some candies or some chametz, then you're really okay. And a lot of people have called me on Passover and said, Rabbi, I didn't get the chance to do the search and I just found chametz in my home. I said, did you do a bittul? Did you annul it? They said, yeah. I said, it's fine. Just throw it out.
Wait, okay, let's say you do the bitzel, and then after Pesach, you go up to the cabinet, and you're just like, oh, all this chametz.
You did a bitzel. It doesn't matter.
So you can reclaim ownership of it?
Yeah.
If you sold it,
it's mine.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Who are you to throw it out then?
Well, if it's not yours, you mean? You should give it away then, probably. You're right.
Who are you to give it to someone?
But what if you sold it?
If what? If you did a bitzel? Okay, you were the first one to get to it, so now it's yours again.
Oh, okay.
That's only after Pesach.
It's like a scavenger hunt.
Pesach, you can't claim ownership.
Exactly. Yes, Miranda.
If you're staying in a house...
You're asking good questions, by the way. This is good.
This one's not good. If you're staying in a house... Okay, your hopes up. If you're staying in a house with someone who's partaking in little chametz...
Yeah, eating chametz. Not a problem.
What?
You don't have to scream, yell at them, call them heretic.
I was going to ask, do I have to say the bittul, but no, because it's not mine.
It's not yours. You can only be mevatel something you own. But that's, you know, you can't nullify ownership of something you don't own. You have to own it. It's specifically for something that belongs to you. So you don't have to worry if you go to a friend's house and they're not keeping any of these rules and laws. That's their business. And that's, it's not your responsibility. You just have to be careful not to inadvertently, you know, pop that devil dog in your mouth because it's lying around, you know. That's why when you sell your chametz and it's still in your home, you want to put something on it. That's one of the reasons, by the way, the rabbis go crazy about this, because non-kosher food, if you decide to go kosher, so this is stuff you're not eating all year. But guess what happens on Passover? Passover, the food you eat all year becomes taboo for 8 days. And the likelihood of mess up is greater, and therefore the rabbis are stricter. That, you know what I'm saying? Because the tendency, it's easier to mess up, because this is regular food you eat all year round, and all of a sudden you can't eat it for 8 days. So you can. You can. Meaning, yeah, just cover it up. That's all. But sell it.
No, yeah, no.
And when we fill out the...
It's not yours? Like, if it's like...
It's not yours.
Should I still cover it up, though? But even though I know the other person's eating it.
Oh. They're eating your... Oh, here's a problem. You can't have a na'ah from chametz. Not only are you not allowed to consume chametz, you're not allowed to benefit from it. So you can't really have a fellow Jew eating your chametz on Passover.
Your
if they're
it's not
her
chametz.
Oh, so it doesn't matter. So why would you cover it if it's not yours? Oh, just so you don't inadvertently.
Yeah.
So you don't inadvertently. Yeah, yeah. Then cover it. That's fine. That actually makes sense. You're just covering it so you don't slip up.
What's the thing about
just cover your eyes?
Yeah.
It's not. We don't read that literally. Bali Rabbi Musa means you can't have a legal. Relationship with your chametz.
Oh.
You need to relinquish ownership of the
chametz. Do we need to list the specific foods when we refill the sale?
I'm sorry?
Do we need to list specific foods when we do the sale?
No. You're going to take a look at the sale for chametz. Wait, let me just finish, and then we'll fill out the form and we'll be done, okay? We actually accomplished a lot. You guys have been very accommodating. You usually have a hard time with you all before Pesach. What do you do the next morning with your pekala of chametz?
You destroy it.
Thank you. How do you do that?
You're supposed to burn it.
Okay, there's a debate in the...
You're
supposed to... So you can all come to Skylar's home in Great Neck, and he will burn your chametz with his array of blowtorches. You can choose from any one of many blowtorches, or you can come to the Jewish Center, take a look. Look at step number 7. One is not allowed to partake in chametz after 10:19 a.m., so you're not supposed to eat chametz after 10:19 in the morning on Friday. Chametz is burnt the morning before Pesach begins. This year, chametz is burnt on Friday morning, April 15th. Chametz must be burned on Friday, the latest by 11:37. If by accident it's not done by then, it can still be done until Passover starts, which is Shabbat also. You can bring your chametz to the Jewish Center on Friday morning before 11:30, and they will burn it for you. You know how? There's a big garbage, like metal bin, and in the back alley, people go and they burn the chametz. Done it for many, many years. We do it in the hotel. And then you do a second bittul. Bittul is a nullification. You did the bittul the night before, after you gathered up your chametz, and you're going to do a second bittul. This one's a little different. Take a look in the box. Any chametz or leaven that's in by possession, which I've recognized or not, whether I've seen it or not, whether I've removed it or not, should be annulled and ownerless like the dust of the earth. Okay? And that's it. Let's talk. I want to take the sale of chametz form. You want to pull it out, guys? Page 13. Pull it out. Fill it out. Let's do it right now. And you have a pen. Anybody uses pens anymore in this day and age?
You had
a question? Go for it. Well,
yeah,
people
so
are filling
like
it out.
You said every one of your pots and pans that you kosher needs to go to the mikveh. Can I just take a big lobster pot and go to the East River and
You could use the East River as a mikveh. You don't have to go to a mikveh if it's a river.
If I just take a river, pot of ocean. River water?
No. It has to be immersed in... In order for it to be considered a mikveh, it has to have 40 seot of flowing water.
I can go to the East River with my box of pots and pans?
Yes, sure. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to go to an actual mikveh. You can go to a natural body of water.
Can I ask a quick question about that?
Yeah.
So what about the lake in Prospect Park? Is that also...
Lakes are... Lake doesn't flow. Yes?
So what if you accidentally slip up and eat something that you should love Passover? Is it pointless to say the bittul?
No. No. Because first of all, people make mistakes. Things happen. And that's part of life. And God knows that and understands that. But if you had done a bittul, at least what you ate wasn't yours. So you still ate chametz, which is not good. But at least the chametz you ate didn't belong to you, which is a separate... There's five prohibitions in the Torah relating to chametz. One is eating. Another one is possessing or owning. So at least you weren't in violation of the owning. You did eat it, which is not great. So try not to, and that's it. You do your best. Zahava, do you have any extra pens so we can fill out our sale of chametz forms? Yes.
I think this should be the back and this should be the front, right?
No, what's that?
Because they both have like lips.
No, you don't have to.
I could just, I have a separate. Who cares?
No, this is not for you. You don't have to fill this out.
Oh, okay. Fine.
This is just for you in case.
No, it's the other side of the phone.
What? Uh-huh.
The Jewish answer is that they put it on the back.
What, this? What is this?
They put it on the back.
Attorney?
Since when did they ask for this?
Yeah, I think it's brand new.
Really?
Yeah.
We never did this.
I know. I'm just telling you this year. They said it on the back.
Oh, so how do we do this now?
What do you mean?
It's a legal document.
So people are going to give you two separate sheets now?
No. I'll just give them one that's double-sided.
Oh, okay, guys. Okay, thank you.
People can.
Okay, so just use this. It's easier. And fill out the stuff in the back.
Okay, if anyone needs one that wants a separate one from the packet.
Oh, you want to use this, that it's easier.
What do I use?
Yeah, oh, I have the one you gave me before.
Yeah,
just give everybody one.
Do we have to fill this out, though? Do we have to fill out her own, or can Jamie and I fill out one
Brett
together?
Brett has one.
Is it own together?
Together. You don't have to do your own.
Like, do you and your wife do
one? I do one for my whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to do... She doesn't have to do her own. Unless she has a separate residence.
No. Not
anymore.
I have a question, but it's okay if you don't... I can ask it later, but... And I read in here that it's like you have to sell your dog... During Passover?
No, you don't have to sell your dog. What you have to do is, if you're giving... That's such a sad idea. Why would you sell your dog?
Well, it said in here, it says you have to sell your dog's
food. Yeah, your dog's food.
Food.
Oh, so I can put on here, like, my dog's food.
Yeah, if the food contains grain.
Great, okay.
If it has grain. But here's good news. Here's good news. Your dog does not have to be concerned with kidney yolk. You can eat, right, even if he's even if he's an Ashkenazic dog. Isn't this funny? Even if it's an Ashkenazic dog. Your dog's Spartan?
He's so religious.
Where's your dog from?
He's observant.
Because you can feed your dog's
name is Bagel.
Food,
he's
right?
Observant.
Bagel?
He's a Bagel.
You got to change his name for Pesach.
Yeah. He's a big man that joke last year. His name was Monsignor.
Oh, that's very cute. That's adorable. That's very cute. So you want to sell, this way you don't have to throw out the dog food that's in your home. You want to sell, you know, any dog food, that because you're not allowed to get benefit from it. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Liebtag, how are you?
To be open, Daniel?
Do we still have to do this part of it or not?
Yeah, do it, yeah.
I'll just have to take it home, man. I don't know what I'm selling.
Wait, Rabbi.
Okay.
Signing name here. Is this a legal name or?
Your name.
Hebrew name?
No, English name. It's a legal document.
Here, I can't just say all food in my government apartment.
I noticed that.
Well, just write down the types of things that you're selling. What does it say? I've never seen this. This is brand new.
Can I borrow your pen?
Oh, it's approximate value.
Do I have to sell my?
Just write down. Do you have liquor?
Yeah, like.
Do you have whiskey?
Yeah.
You don't have to write how much. And you just write kitchen, pantry, living room, wherever it is.
Oh, we do not do it for my company.
So basically, in selling,
same thing. Yeah.
Basically, we should just find somewhere to go for the week of Passover.
You don't need to.
Easier.
Well, it's easier, but you don't need to.
We don't have to sell close to Passover, right?
You don't have to for Rabbi Wiles.
Yeah.
The food from your company, though, even if you leave and go.
Cream juice and wine is fine, right?
What's up?
That's fine.
It would still be.
Wait, so for the fast of the firstborn, is that like.
Because you're not.
If we don't miss a seal, we definitely have to fast of our firstborn.
Let's say you go to a Pesach program.
Say again? That's the firstborn. And the Pesach, I've never understood that. And I would just wake up early enough, and then I would decide that, okay, I don't fast for the other minor
fasts.
I like another minor fast.
You said the minor fast, but why not go to a Seum?
I should. I just never got up early enough.
Well, get up early.
If I miss it, then I should still fast there.
There's a fast for firstborn males.
I guess this year, since
the... I'm going to send a comment to someone living in Israel.
What's that?
In
is there seller chametz to Rabbi? That's a great question, right?
Guys, you hear the question? Rabbi Leibtag's asking, can you sell your chametz?
I'm going to Israel tomorrow, so if I send my chametz to the rabbi, so I need to send my chametz before Pesach starts. But Pesach here doesn't start until hours later.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And it ends later.
It's interesting.
So the dog can still eat the dog too, as long as it's sold.
Have you ever seen this? People specify.
It doesn't really make much sense.
Can't
you feed your dog now?
Or the type of chametz? I see the exact location. I never saw the type of
chametz. Dog is
like cheese to my home.
Medicine is going to be liquor. Let's go.
Like, do you know those people who make their dog eat
chicken? I know medicine.
Where were the keys been?
You can't get them like.
So then put it. So write your name and all that.
It's
the same.
Because you can't benefit her.
All right, we're gonna break here. Jory, do you have any questions? Natasha, I hope you're feeling okay.
I asked when I got a daughter. I asked this question.
I'm fine.
No, that's okay. Do you have these little packets and fun stuff that we've been going through? No, it's okay. We have this whole packet. It's called the MGE Passover Prep Guide.
Do we need to sell sugar or honey?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're welcome. Natasha, if you need it, shoot me an email. We'll get it to you.
You have to have your.
Do we need to sell sugar or honey?
Not the food has to be because there's you're not supposed to have benefit from. Can they take a 2-minute break? Because they were really good.
Mm-hmm. So the dog's eating like lots of meal.
We need to sell Rabbi sugar.
Take a 2-minute break. Don't leave Rabbi Leibtag's unbelievable.
Can I share some
steaks every day?
If you haven't figured that out by
sugar or honey, do we need to sell?
Anything that's not kosher.
You're not supposed to change your dog's diet drastically overnight. You have to like mix in a little of this, like over 2 weeks.
I don't.
I just sent you guys a new link for the 9:15 class. Okay.
Okay. You put everything.
I don't really answer that, but I'm not like going to die in that.
What are you?
Because I'm going to give your dog straight steaks.
Guys, you're getting a preview for your trip.
That's it?
I have no idea how to do that. Lobsters and steaks.
Why do you feed your dog lobster?
What do you want? Told me in a dream.
It would make a lot more sense when you understand.
What would you want if your dog?
Going to fight you. Going to we have the map.
I don't know. City rats? Just please do me a favor.
No, he loves. Oh my god, he's crazy. Like chicken.
I just like to eat naturally in its environment. So if it lives in New York, you should just eat.
City rats.
Roaches and rats.
City rats bigger than he.
It's like, you know, the idea that we're supposed to only plant, native greenery in your yard. We don't put a palm tree in the yard, right? So you shouldn't be feeding your dog, lobster fishing for Maine if you don't live in Maine. If you live in Maine.
The only thing that are local are corned beef sandwiches, and that's what he gets. I don't want to tell you.
Corned beef sandwiches is okay.
That's local.
That's
and those hot dogs they make on the street.
Hot dogs are good.
And whole car food.
That's better than non-kosher food.
Yeah.
Yeah, halal is the step up.
Halal step up.
Does anyone need a selling chametz?
I need it. What's good at? I didn't have one mother.
Did you meet?
No, we haven't yet.
Yeah. You're going to skip down on Travis.
That's true. Very nice to meet you.
Yeah, wait, question?
So where was I? I was in...
recording in progress.
And in my parents' home, I found this letter. Which actually had not been
opened. I really enjoyed it for the last 31
years.
Oh, but I think that was at the mail, yeah.
Yeah, related to that.
So complicated.
What?
What?
I was talking about his talk at Shabbat dinner. I appreciated the part where you talked about Amuna, meaning the quarter.
That was my chance. I was speaking to
myself.
Where
are you?
They were just like, give me your house.
Hey, you want to come?
And I was like, yeah.
Right, come to my office. Small group. Send this to me. I want to read it. They're waiting for me.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, I didn't take your chametz form.
Oh, Rabbi.
Hey, guys,
everything else. I can point in for $5.
One second.
Okay, good.
Just lift this in the air.